and Gene Autry.
I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend. Where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly gypsy weed. I'm back in the saddle again.
That's right, folks. It's another visit with all the gang here at Melody Ranch. There's Pat Buttram, the Cass County Boys, the Gene Autry Blue Jeans, Carl Kottner's Melody Ranch Hardway 6 featuring Alvino Ray, and yours truly, Charlie Lyon. Right now, though, meet the boss man himself, America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry.
Down yonder, someone beckons to me. Down yonder, someone reckons on me. I seem to see a racing memory between the Natchez and the Robert E. Lee. Swanee Shore, I miss you more and more. Every day, my man, me land, you are simply grand down yonder when the folks get the news. Don't wonder at the hullabaloo. There's Daddy and Mammy, there's Ephraim and Sammy, waiting down yonder for me.
Down yonder someone beckons to me. Down yonder someone reckons on me. I seem to see a race in memory between the Natchez and the Robert E. Lee. Ronnie Shore, I miss you more and more.
Every day, my Mandy land, you are simply grand down yonder when the folks get the news. Don't wonder about the hullabaloo. There's Daddy and Mammy, there's Ephraim and Sammy, waiting down yonder, I mean way down south, waiting down yonder for me.
Well, greetings, friends and neighbors, and welcome once again to Melody Ranch. Folks, here's one of my favorite Columbia recordings that will sound familiar to you if you've ever been in Canada, especially around Lake Louise.
In the blue Canadian Rockies, spring is sighing through the trees, and the golden poppies are blooming round the banks of Lake Louise. Across the sea they call me, and I'm lonesome and so blue. For the blue Canadian Rockies and the girl I love so true. Across the sea they call me, and I'm lonesome and so blue. For the blue Canadian Rockies and the one I love so.
Thank you, friends. I'm glad you liked that tune. Now we've... That could only be Pat Buttram.
I'm a smart
Well, put the door back on the hinges and come on in.
Well, I am in. Say, that's a pretty song. You know, you ought to do like I do and gargle your throat with vinegar and garlic sometimes.
Vinegar and garlic? Gosh. Is that good for your throat?
No, but whenever I sing I'm walking behind you, people sure know why. I got that out of my own head.
Well, you ought to put it back before somebody steps on it.
Somebody steps on it. Insults and work. That's all I ever get around this place. And I'm getting mighty tired of it.
Well, I'd like to know what you're tired from.
Oh, lots of things. Cooking for everybody around here, for instance. Like this morning. Did you ever try to stuff a turkey? Makes you so mad you want to kill it. I'm sorry. And then it's milking the cows.
Now, wait a minute. We've got all kinds of modern milking machines around here at Melody Ranch.
That's just it. Nowadays, everything's complicated. You got milk that's mechanized and it's homogenized and vitaminized and calorized. Back in the old days, it was different.
How's that?
The cow just give you what she happened to have on tap at the time. But that ain't the thing. I got too much to do around here, Mr. Artery, and I just gotta have some help. Now, won't you please let me send for my Uncle Charlie? He's just dying to come out here to Melody Ranch.
Well, I don't know if your Uncle Charlie is handy enough for ranch life, Pat.
Oh, he's handy, all right.
Is that so?
Yeah. I remember the time that he took the wheels from a covered wagon, the body from a spring buggy, the motor and tires from a tractor, and the top from a Surrey.
What did he get?
30 days.
Pat, do you really think that your Uncle Charlie would fit in here at the ranch?
Like a flea at a dog show, Mr. Artery. Especially at these parties on a Sunday.
Oh.
He can tell more interesting stories. He's even writ one story for the movie. It's entitled, The Howling Coyote Meets the Riders of the Purple Sage on the Lone Prairie Under a Texas Moon.
What's it about?
Two medical students in Vienna.
I'm still not convinced about your Uncle Charlie.
Mr. Artery, he also could help you entertain around here. He's a one-man band.
What do you mean, a one-man band?
Well, he sits there with a bass drum attached to each foot, cymbals on both knees, tambourines on both elbows, a saxophone, clarinetti, and trumpet in his mouth, and castanets on his head.
What does he do with his hands?
He holds them over his ears. Come on, Mr. Artery. Think it over about Uncle Charlie.
Yeah, I think it over. I did, and it's all over. Oh, that Buttram. Someday I'm going to give him a free pass to a leaky submarine. Well, let's get to something good now. Let's listen to the Cass County Boys. And looks like that they've got the blues.
When the ordinary feller gets off on Saturday night, and he gets a chance to see his pals, which ain't no more than right. But when the saddle is your life, there's no time to corral. And you don't know what lonesome is till you get to herding cows. Do-me-ah-my-do, do-me-ah-my-day, all alone, all alone. Now the keeper of the lighthouse and the sailor man at sea, and the lookout on the mountaintop ain't got a thing on me. Cause I got all the lonesomeness the common law allows. And you don't know what lonesome is till you get to herding cows. Do-me-ah-my-do, do-me-ah-my-day, by myself, by myself. He's never had no pal, no gal for company, just the cattle as they browse. Man, you don't know what lonesome is till you get to herding cows. Do-me-ah-my-do, do-me-ah-my-day, all alone by myself, doggone cows.
Well, Cass County boys, and don't give us a fast brush now. We'll want to hear from you again a little later.
Jilted, jilted, you found the new love, didn't even say we're through, love. Jilted, jilted, but I'm as happy as can be. Been thinking it over ever since you're slipping around me, gun. Now I've become a rover who could play that game as well as one. And even though our hot romance is wilted, wilted, thanks for the favor,
Baby, you're a real lifesaver. I'm happy that you jilted me.
I've been thinking it over. Ever since your slipping around begun, now I'll become a rover who can play that game as well as one. And even though our hot romance has wilted,
thanks for the favor.
Baby, you're a real lifesaver.
I'm happy that you jilted me. Oh, thank you very, very much, folks. I'm glad you liked it.
Say, how about telling us a story along about now?
I've got one already, Pat, and I hope it's one that all of the folks will enjoy. A few years ago, I was on my way by train from Rim Rock to Ranger headquarters over in Red Man's Valley to report for a special assignment. The train had stopped at a small station on the west side of the Black Sky Range, and while they were unloading the mail and taking on a few passengers, the conductor came up and handed me a telegram.
You're Mr. Autry, aren't you?
That's right.
The agent here at this station told me to give you this telegram.
Well, much obliged to you.
He said to tell you it was important.
Well, in that case, I'd better read it.
Well, I hope it isn't bad news for you.
I opened the telegram and read it. It said, "The Indian Springs Bank robbed this morning. Banker killed. Local mob threatening to lynch prisoner. In answer to call for ranger help, I have wired Sheriff Dobbs to meet your train. Stop there and investigate scene. Signed, Tom Martin, Ranger Captain."
Pardon me, stranger, but are you Gene Autry?
That's right. You must be Sheriff Dobbs.
Right, and I'm sure glad to see you. We got to act fast, Autry. Right now, there's a lynching mob forming at the jail.
That's what I heard. Well, let's get going.
Yeah, but where are the other men?
What other men?
You mean to tell me they sent just one ranger?
Well, you got just one mob, haven't you? Let's go. When we neared the jail, I could see that Sheriff Dobbs hadn't stretched the truth a bit.
Well, Audrey, now you see what I mean. We got real trouble on our hands. That mob means business.
Who's your prisoner, Sheriff?
Young Joe Phillips. Some of Pete Lance's gang identified him as one of the robbers, and I had to arrest him. Then they stirred up this lynching deal.
All right. Unlock the door.
Are you crazy, Audrey?
Nope. I'm going out there and talk to that mob.
Well, you'll never get away with it. They're kill mad.
I'll have to take my chances. Open the door.
But, Autry...
Wait till I start talking, then you walk out. Open the door.
All right. But you're just digging your own grave.
All right, fellas. All right, let me have your attention. Quiet, please. Quiet. Now listen to me, all of you. It'd be an easy thing for any one of you to draw a gun and plug me. But I'm asking you to listen to what I have to say first.
Here for Joe Phillips. We're going to get
him. Now, wait a minute. Now, listen, men. This prisoner's got a right to a fair trial before a judge and a jury. He'll get what's coming to him if he's guilty. But if you men take him, enough rangers will swarm into this town to put every one of you under arrest for murder.
Well, we know he's guilty, so why waste time?
You don't know any such thing, partner. And it's not for you to decide.
Pete Lance ain't going to be liking this, Ranger.
Then you tell Pete Lance that I'll drop over and find out what he does like. Now, come on, man. Let's break it up. You'll be glad you did. When I stepped back inside the sheriff's office, the sweat had begun to break out all over me. I'd taken the big chance, and I knew it.
You're lucky to be alive, Autry.
Get Joe Phillips out of town to another jail as quick as you can. That mob might change their mind. In the meantime, I'll do a little investigating on my own. In the next few minutes, the sheriff told me the details that led to young Joe Phillips' arrest. When I heard that, I figured my next move was to call on Lance and talk to the man who identified Phillips.
Something for you, friend?
Yeah.
Where will I find Pete Lance?
His office in the back there. That door marked private.
Much obliged.
But I said the door was marked private.
Yeah, I heard you.
Hey, what's the idea of breaking into my office like this?
Nobody's breaking, mister. And if you're Pete Lance, I want to talk with you.
That's him, boss. He's that ranger.
Oh, well, that's different. Come in, ranger. Didn't know who you were at first.
I'll make my business quick and to the point, Lance. Which one of your men identified Joe Phillips as the bank robber?
Well, it was Gunner here. He spotted him.
All right, Gunner. You're coming with me.
Now, wait a minute. You can't do this. I just done my duty as a citizen.
That's right. You're carrying things a little too far, Ranger.
Well, if it's proven that Phillips is the right man, Gunner, then you've done this town a good service. But right now, we're going to find out. So crawl out of that chair and come on with me. Gunner was getting mighty worried by the time we got back to the sheriff's office. And it was plain to see that he was a gun-slinging phony from the very beginning.
Pete Lance ain't gonna like you doing this to me, Autry.
Yeah, he had his chance to stop me back at his office. Now listen, Gunner. You identified Joe Phillips as the man who stuck up the bank.
That's right.
What was he wearing?
Levi's and a blue shirt, just like he always does.
There's 100 men in this town wearing the same thing.
Well, it was him, I tell you.
Who put you up to identifying Phillips as the robber?
Nobody. It was my duty as a citizen.
And it's my duty as a ranger to lock you up. As a material witness, if not for anything else.
You can't do this.
I think I can. Open the cell door, Sheriff. Let's show Gunner how it's done. It was a little hard to tell just how much Gunner knew about the robbery and murder. But since it was perfectly legal for the sheriff to hold him as a material witness, I decided to let him cool off in jail while I talked to a bank clerk who was the only other employee in the bank at the time of the robbery.
It was like this, Mr. Autry. Mr. Morris, the bank manager, and myself had just opened the bank when the bandit stepped in and drew a gun on us. The bandit then ordered Mr. Morris to place all our currency in a sack. When Mr. Morris hesitated to give him the money, the man shot him down.
How did he get the money?
The bandit ordered me to hand him the money through the cage door. I tried to open the door, but it was stuck. This kind of made the bandit mad, so he raised his foot up and kicked it open. I handed him the money, and he made his getaway.
And you don't think you could identify him?
I doubt it. But this might be of help. I found it stuck in between two of the upright bars in the cage door after the bandit kicked it in. Must have come off his boot heel.
The bank clerk handed me a thin, worn rubber tip from the heel of the boot. Now I had a little something to go on. I lost no time in getting back to the sheriff's office. My one hope was that the robber had not yet discovered the missing part of his boot heel.
Any luck yet, Autry?
Well, we're getting warmer, Sheriff. I'd like to see the cell where you kept Joe Phillips before you moved him. And I want to have another talk with Gunner.
Sure. Come on back. I got the Gunner in the same cell I kept Phillips in.
About time you let me out of here, Autry. Pete Lance will get you a job for this.
That's got me scared to death, Gunner. And besides, you're not getting out yet, I don't think.
What are you talking about?
Let's see the bottom of your boots.
Huh? Now, wait a minute.
Come on, hold them up here before they turn your bottom side up.
All right.
Now the other one.
Hey, what is this?
I'm just checking you for hoof and mouth disease. We got to keep this jail clean. All right, Gunner. You're a free man.
Huh? Well, it's about time.
Just see to it that you don't leave town.
I knew you didn't have nothing to keep me in jail for.
Then get moving before I change my mind.
I'm going. But you'll hear from Pete Lance about this.
Audrey, I don't get it. Why'd you let him go?
I had a very special reason, Sheriff. In the meantime, send some of your men after Joe Phillips. I think he's the one man who can help us solve this whole case in short order. Sheriff sent three men over to Painted Rock for Joe. Later that afternoon, they brought him back to the Indian Springs Sheriff's office.
There he is, Gene.
Hello, Joe.
How are you?
Feel a lot better than I did when you first hit town, Mr. Autry. That was a mighty close call for me.
Well, ordinarily, we could let you go, Joe. But under the circumstances, I guess we'll have to hold you.
For what?
For bank robbery and murder.
Gene, are you serious?
What is this, a frame-up?
You've had the guilty man all along, Sheriff. Come on, Joe. Show the sheriff your boot heels.
You can't prove anything on me.
Give me that boot.
All right, Sheriff. Here's all the proof you need. Joe, when you kicked the teller's cage door in, you had a slight accident. You lost this from your right boot heel.
Gene, what made you so sure that Joe was guilty before you matched that rubber tip to his boot heel?
Sheriff, if you look at the wooden floor of that cell you kept Joe in, you'll see a lot of small tack holes. When I went back to examine Gunner's boots, they were okay. That could only mean one man, Joe Phillips.
That is a swell story, Mr. Artery. Then Gunner was right when he identified Joe.
Well, Gunner knew that Joe was going to bust into that bank before it ever took place. He was supposed to be in on the deal. But Joe double-crossed him, pulled the job ahead of time. Gunner identified him and stirred up the lynching mob to get revenge. Huh.
Then Gunner was in it just as much as Joe, but he got away?
Oh, no, he didn't. He got the cell right next to Joe Phillips. Friends, the feeling expressed in the cowboy classic that we've selected for today is familiar to everyone who spent a night out under the open sky. Who made the mountains? Who made the trees? Who made the rivers flow to the sea? And who hung the moon in the starry sky? Somebody bigger than you and I. Who makes the flowers bloom in the spring? Who writes the song for the robin to sing? And who sends the rain when the earth is dry? Somebody bigger than you and I. He lights the way when the road is long. Keeps you company with the love to guide you. He walks beside you just like he walks with me. When I am weary, filled with despair, who gives me courage to go on from there? And who gives me faith that will never die? Somebody bigger than you and I.
Heaven after wine.
Satan's just like a snake crawling in the grass.
Jubilee.
Always hiding close by when the Christians pass.
Try to make them miss the Jubilee.
Jubilee,
jubilee, jubilee.
I've been invited to a jubilee in heaven after a while.
What's the matter with the church that we don't hear a shout?
Jubilee,
oh glory, jubilee. Sinners in that evening corner ought to be turned out.
They would never have the jubilee. Jubilee,
jubilee, jubilee,
jubilee. I've been invited to a jubilee in heaven after a while.
Oh, that was great, kids. Really, really great. Now I think it's time for a little song. A song that's darn near perfect to end not only this day, but any day. I'm sure that you'll all agree as we sing for you. When day is done and shadows fall, I dream of you. When day is done, I think of all the joys we knew. That yearning returning to hold you in my arms. Won't go, love, I know, love, without you. Night has lost its charms when day is done and grass is wet with twilight's dew. My lonely heart is sinking with the sun. Although I miss your tender kiss the whole day through, I miss you most of all when day is done.
When day is done and grass is wet with twilight's dew, my lonely heart is sinking with a sorrow.
Although I've missed your tender kiss the whole day, I miss you most of all when day is done.
America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry, will be back this way next week. And he'll bring along Pat Buttram, the Cass County Boys, the Gene Autry Blue Jeans, Carl Kuttner's Mulody Ranch Hardway 6 featuring Albino Ray, and yours truly, Charlie Lyon. For an exciting and entertaining half hour, be sure you're listening next time I say, it's time for Mulody Ranch and Gene Autry.